Before you're seated, we invite you to take your Bible, turn to the book of 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to pick up where we left off just before our summer series, looking at this subject of Peter desiring to finish well. And I think there are lessons in our passage that you will find to be a blessing from your heart or for your heart as we look to it together in the Word of God. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Verses 10 through 16. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 16. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things. Though you know and are established in the present truth, yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word. Thank you for the privilege of its challenge and its encouragement of its exhortation. May the word do all of those things in our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Peter is coming to the end of his life. And as we have looked to this text in times past, we've looked at the process of Christian growth. There are fundamental principles of Christian growth that Peter has been displaying for us and describing for us. And he's going to tell us that the importance of these fundamental Christian principles are so important that three things. First, observance of them will keep you from stumbling. Principles of spiritual growth are so important that following them, observing them, will keep you from stumbling. Number two, that though you know it, you must be reminded of it. And finally, they are so important that Peter was going to see to it that it was written down. Fundamental principles of spiritual growth are so important that observance of them will keep you from stumbling, that though you may know about them, you need to be reminded of them. And finally, that they are so important that Peter was going to write them down. That's what Peter tells us in this little segment of verses 10 through 15 or 16, roughly, as we look at the text of Scripture. Certainly, he said, we're to take our faith and with all diligence add to it these virtues, these items that are Christian graces. Christian graces that if they are found and are super abound in our life, then they allow you to sense your possession in Christ. Not your retention of your possession, but your possession in Christ, your eternal life. Your walk with God will be so evident because your life is growing. Growth is important to us, isn't it? We watch our little babies grow up. We watch them grow. Sometimes you think they grow in their sleep, don't you? Walk into the room and there they just seem to be getting longer. And you seem to think they're growing in their sleep. Growth is a sign of life. And spiritual growth is that way too. Add to your faith these virtues, these things. Virtue itself, that manly sense of virtue, being set aside as a grower in Christ, as someone who stands for Christ. Knowledge. Add to your virtue of faith, your virtue and knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. Perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, love. All these things are need to be in you and abound. Notice his little phrase, these things. Add to your virtue, your faith, these things. And he lists them. And then he says, if these things are in you and abound, you will not be barren, nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. For you lack these things is short-sighted, even to blindness. Then he uses this phrase, these things, again in verse 10. If you do these things, you will never stumble. Down in verse 12, for this reason I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things. And these things, in verse 15, moreover, I will be careful to ensure you that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. These things are important to be repeated and repeated and repeated. every dad in this room knows that you have to say certain things over and over and over again, because that's what dads do. Because there are important things to you that you want your children to maintain and remember after you're gone, right? We all know the importance of reminders. My wife has learned that in order to remind me of certain things, like, will you please take this over to the church? Or will you take the garbage? Or will you, whatever she's asking me to do, she has learned to not just tell me once, but she's learned to put it somewhere where I can stumble over it. And even then, I'll find notes written up on the cabinet. Remember this. This last week, because I had a trip to Fredericksburg, she said, will you take these garments and take them to Zips, the dry cleaner? Okay, I'll do that. So how she reminded me was at least two or three times, she said, will you take them? Oh, by the way, you're taking them Wednesday. Take these. And then she has them lined up on the banister of the railing, so I can't help but trip over them on my way out. And guess what? I almost forgot. I almost forgot to take them. I didn't tell her this. But the thing that saved me and saved my bacon was the fact that she had put a little sticky note on the cabinet. And so my last thing going out the door was to see that for some reason in this bright yellow. And, oh, yeah, I've got to take these things. You know, believers, we're all the same, aren't we? These things. The question that is a fascinating question to ask yourself, and probably ask in general as a Christian, is how many of us really go through our life saying, I need to serve Christ today. How can I do this? You ever wonder about that? When was the last time you got up in the morning and said, I need to serve Christ today. How am I going to do that today? Because we don't do that, we just go through our life like everybody else. And so that begs the question, because we don't ask ourselves, am I ready to serve Christ today? Do I serve Christ? And yet, why am I here if it is not to serve Christ? It's an interesting question to ask how many of us intentionally make it so that we trip over the responsibility of trusting Christ that we remember and serving Christ that we do it that day. We remind ourselves. Because we tripped over the responsibility of it. What reminders do you put in front of you? And as you look at this text, this is what Peter's purpose is to do, is to continue to lay out in front of the believers these things so that spiritual truth becomes a part of their spiritual growth because they can't help but see it again. So we have this man who's coming to the end of his life, desiring to finish well. And he wants to pass along to those who are coming after him these things that he has learned in the school of experience, the school of hard knocks. He's learned by falling and stumbling and all the rest of the things he wants us to learn and to trip over in a good way so that we can grow in Christ. Do these things. If you don't do these things, you'll stumble. Do these things, and you won't be nearsighted. But if you don't do these things, you're like somebody who's nearsighted. And believe me, when you're nearsighted, you trip over things. You don't see them. You don't see the obstacles. You don't see the things that will cause you to stumble. So Peter's desire is to be the senior, seasoned citizen in Christ who knows his end is near. And he desires that those of us who are coming after him will stumble over these things that will cause us to grow so that we do not stumble in the spiritual life, but instead are given a grand entrance into glory. Look at verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent. Make it a greater diligent study to make your call and election firm, sure, established, something that's unshakable. To make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. I remember helping my dad put in a basketball backboard when I was a kid, and when dad would do something, he would do it over the top. He was an engineer, a mechanical engineer. So when we put in that basketball backboard pole, whoever bought that house after us must have not liked that if he had to move it. Because I remember we gathered stones and we gathered concrete and we gathered cement and we gathered this thing and we set it up there and drilled holes and put posts through this pole so that it was not going to move. And we had that, we had the bubble level out and we were making sure that thing was set. And as it got set, we continued to check it to make sure it was not off plumb. These things are designed to establish us. To be established in the truth of growing in Christ. Take it and make it a diligent study and then make your spiritual growth important. Not because it's how you hold on to and retain eternal life, but it's what tells your soul that you possess eternal life. So make it a diligent study. We play for keeps in the Christian life. There may be things we do from time to time that are occasional, and one of the things that bothers me as a Scotsman, I end up buying something, and I'm thinking, oh good, this is the last one I have to ever buy. But that thing breaks down, or gets old, and has to be replaced, and it just goes counter to my nature to have to replace something. We don't buy things for keep in this world, do we? It drives you to distraction. We do a lot of things that are temporal. But your spiritual growth is playing for keeps. Why is that? Well, our text explains it to you. If you do these things, if you make your calling and election sure, you do these things, you will never stumble. Do you think Peter knew about stumbling in his life? Absolutely. Have you run up the stairs and stumbled recently? You hope nobody's listening. It's always somebody in the house who says, oh, are you okay? Ah, yeah, I'm okay. Did you hear that? Sorry. We don't like stumbling. Remember growing up and your shoes were just a little bit too big? Because you had to buy these shoes that were a little big because you're going to grow into them? And you know what that did to you. You're always stumbling over the tips of your shoes. They're just a little bit too big. You're not used to them. Believers, if you do these things, you will not stumble. Spiritually stumbling hurts. And spiritually stumbling is noticeable. And spiritually stumbling, others will follow in your stead and in your place. Don't stumble. If you do these things, you'll not stumble. Instead, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior. Everlasting, we play for keeps. We live in a country that we're afraid is going to fall apart. It's not eternal. What nation on this earth ever has been? It's not eternal. We're in a kingdom that is not eternal and it breaks our heart. It causes us to vote. It causes us to pray. It causes us to fear. Believers, where we're headed is to a kingdom that's everlasting. And you will have an entrance into that kingdom that is supplied by the Lord richly. Now, what is that referring to? It's referring to the day when you enter into the everlasting kingdom, and it will be a grand entrance based upon your spiritual growth and not stumbling. Now, there are times when there are entrances. You remember high school graduation? You remember we all got dressed up in those gowns and had the little top, you know, that little mortar board. And we had the tassel that was supposed to go a certain way. And I always got upset with the girls because they didn't do what they were supposed to do. You know, the guys are trying to keep this thing level. So if you put a drop of water on it, it'll stay there through the whole time. But for a girl, it's sitting back like this because it's going to mess her hair up. You know, and so you go through graduation. Here's all the guys, you know, here's all the girls, and they're all in there with their graduation caps. And some guys don't get it. You know, most of us don't get it. The whole idea of pomp and circumstance is lost on us. So we walk in there in our entrance, you know, okay, I'm here. You know, we're kind of all standing in line. And high school graduation, that was just one thing. It was not exactly an entrance, although it was an entrance. You know, everybody liked to kind of stand there because you're unique. And now somebody who was really good at their grades and had the little ribbons and other things, that was pretty cool. Because they stood out among the rest of the people graduating. They had a little bit of their own sense or taste of a grand entrance. Most of us have had that experience. I'm assuming there's another experience of a grand entrance for the ladies, not the men, the ladies. It would be weddings. You know, the bride makes an entrance. And at weddings, the bride's mother makes an entrance too. When she comes in and is seated, that's when the wedding really begins. That's how it historically starts, is the mother of the bride, when she is seated. But everybody's looking forward to the grand entrance of the woman who is going to be married. You know, we do have a sense of what that's about. It takes months to get to that day. It takes a long sense of preparation. The life isn't over, but that has been the focal point. And so the dress is purchased, and all the organization of the invitations, and all the organization of how the ceremony is going to go, and then the preparations of what it's supposed to be like, and getting the guys to do what they're supposed to do. There is a plan in getting all the family there for everybody to look to the bride. Now, I don't want to just simply make our eternal entrance into the eternal kingdom something so earthly and earthbound. But it is important for us to understand that we're not talking about a high school graduation where we just don't get it. And you know, we're not talking about something that just ends on the day of a wedding, like the day when the bride walks into the church. We're talking about playing for keys. And who is supplying this entrance? God Himself. We talked about supplying into our faith months ago when we started this study. Supplying into our faith these virtues. So it's like somebody who's a choir director who is responsible for providing for the choir to get to where it's supposed to be so it can perform its responsibilities in a way that is a tribute both to the choir and to the audience. That same word of supplying is tied to the entrance into the eternal kingdom. Our God will supply richly. Now, every bride knows money runs out on wedding day. But the Lord God Himself will not run out of supplying richly your entrance into the everlasting kingdom, which is enabled by your behavior on this earth, by building upon your faith these virtues, so that He will multiply this richness of that day, lavishing upon you this entrance into His eternal kingdom. I cannot imagine what this will look like. But it is in your future. We play for keeps, don't we? And Peter was so encouraging in this, because he's about ready to go into his eternal state. His life is coming to an end. He knows what he's talking about. There is a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you'll turn back there quickly with me, that alludes to this picture. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning around verse 13, we read these words. Let's go back to verse 11. For no other foundation can anyone lay than what is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on his foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of how many it is. No. Of what sort it is. God doesn't judge you by how much you have done for Him. God judges you by what quality of what you've done for Him. Not quantity. It's quality. We play for keeps. He says, if any man's work which has been built on it endures, he will receive a reward. Richly supply. God rewards faithfulness in His servants. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. Not loss of salvation, but loss of reward, loss of commendation, loss of richness of entrance. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know? You are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Saved, yet so as by fire. On one hand, rich entrance. On the other hand, you're saved, but so as by fire. Have you ever been around a lot of smoke and fire? When I was in college, I used to be part of the forest firefighting crew. We had our Indian tanks. We had our little yellow bandana that sometimes you'd soak in water and put it around your nose so you weren't just breathing smoke. and you had your boots, you know, army boots or whatever you wore, and the jeans and all the, you know, your canteen, everything you needed to get by when you're out there for hours trying to fight a forest fire in the mountains of Pennsylvania. And one of the things that was amazing to me was how much you stunk when it was over. You know, you'd come walking through into the dining hall for lunch, and you'd try to stick with other people who had fought the fire with you because there's grime and smudge and smears, and you just stink. You can't get rid of the smell of the smoke. And so people kind of give you a wide berth, and then you go and you grab your lunch, and then you're going back out to whatever you're going to do, whether it's fighting more of a forest fire or whatever, or getting cleaned up. But you can't avoid the fact there's an aroma of the smoke are on you. It's just not avoidable. There's a difference between the grand entrance of a bride and the grand entrance of somebody who's been just right through the fire. You go through a fire, your hair is singed. You kind of smell like you've been in the fire. You're fine, but you have this stench that just hangs over you. Believers, when we stand before the Lord and He commends us for our faithfulness, He's not going to bring up our sin, because that's under the blood of Christ. But in our own heart, we'll smell the fire. We'll smell the smoke of where we have let our God down. Eventually, you have to wipe away those tears. But if you have, where you have served the Lord and you've honorably loved Him and you've grown your faith because that's your diligent search and attempt throughout your life, that will be the place where your heart rejoices. And lavishly, the Lord will reward you and give you this grand entrance into eternity. Peter knew what he was talking about. Peter calls us to diligence. Make it your effort this week to get up every day and put something in your path that you must stumble over that says, how am I going to serve my God today? With quality. Not because you're selfish, but because when you enter glory and He lavishes upon you those rewards, and you will turn and say to Him, Lord, these are because You did this in me. It is an honor to Him that you have served with quality in your life. Make it your effort this week to seek to serve the Lord every day. That assures you you're His. That also brings tribute to the name of the God who has redeemed you. I want to give you a few moments to bow and pray and thank God for what He's given you and done in your life and worship Him. If there's an area God points out to you that you need to make things right with Him, please be sure to do business with God. I'll give you a few moments to pray and I'll close. Father, it is an amazing thing that all good gifts and perfect gifts come down from our Father above. And though we are unfaithful servants, we are unprofitable servants, yet You, by in Your grace and mercy, promise to lavish upon us the joys of being a faithful servant of God who enters into the joy of His reward. It's actually Your reward, isn't it? It's all of You. So, Father, cause us to be worshipful this week. Worship You in obedience and in truth and in service. Cause us, Father, to realize all that we do, wherever we are, wherever a job takes us, wherever our homes, whatever our home's need may be, whatever services we can render to others, whatever we do, in the quiet moments and in the noisy moments, that we recognize that they are acts of worship when we desire to serve You and be faithful in this life that You've given to us. If there's one without Christ, I pray that You'll help them to see Christ high and lifted up. Know that they can do none of these things themselves, but trust You. Trust Your Son's shed blood for them. Trust the redemption that You have promised in Him. Father, I pray for Your grace in our life this day. In Jesus' name, amen.